Praise the Lord. How are you guys doing tonight? It's been a long time. When I was 12 years old, I went on this trip with YWAM, and I was a foul young guy. I had a perverted mind and a foul mouth and everything in between. Yeah. And there's another young guy, and we got lost on this wilderness hike thing, and so we decided to climb up this mountain to see if we could figure out where in the world we were. And we got up there, and I'm F this and F that and blank this and blank that and, you know, all this stuff. And we get up to the top, and I thought every other young Christian was just like me. You know, I mean, you're a Christian on Sundays and around your parents. That was about it. We got up to the top of this mountain. This young guy said, "I'd really appreciate it if you stopped swearing." It just blew me away that there were people that actually lived this life 100%. And you know, something inside of me, all I wanted is somebody just to tell me that you don't have to do that. You don't have to live like that. Before I start preaching, I just think there's somebody in here that needs to hear this. It's okay for you to live a totally sold out life to Jesus. It's okay for you not to be a hypocrite. You understand what I'm saying? I'm telling you that that's okay to live that way. Because sometimes all we need is for somebody to say, you know what? You just live the life. You just live the life. That'll handle the rest. Pastor Josh Tanner's not here. He's at home loving on his little baby, Titus Maximus. How many guys wish you had a name like Titus Maximus? Come on. How awesome is that? So cool. All right, who went to the Pumpkin Bowl? Yeah! I heard we didn't get totally rallied this year, which totally blesses me. That's awesome. How did FCC do? Of course. All right, we're doing, if you've been at GM for a few weeks, you know that we've been doing a series called A Call to Character. Praise the Lord. And Pastor Josh started talking about the first part of Call to Character. And we get this out of a verse that's very important to us here on GM. And that's 1 Timothy 4:12. All of our leaders, we call them 4:12s. And it's because we want them to look like this verse. This is what it says. This is the read version of the verse. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in what you say, in your life, in the way that you love, in your attitude, in your faith, and in your purity. And I love this scripture. When I was a young guy, I still am, but when I was a real young guy, this scripture just gave me life. Because it says, you don't have to let other people look down on you because you're young. That really encouraged me, because I wanted to go somewhere in God. But then the verse says this. You be an example, the 60-year-old. You be the example in your faith, in your purity. You don't need some older person telling you, hey, you shouldn't be sleeping around with that girl. You be the example, young person. And it challenged my heart, and it did something in me. And so we're doing this series called A Call to Character, and the first one that Pastor Josh covered was the character of the way we speak. All right? So he talked about, remember, the two sisters of Satan, slander and gossip. He talked about using your words to build people up instead of tear them down. It was an awesome series, and I know it changed some people's lives. I've heard people talking around here and there just saying, you know, and I was just like, you know, I'm not going to get in that conversation. And that is in the message of the gospel. Amen. Last week, Richard Kaplan, is he in the house tonight? Richard? Richard is a good friend of mine. He spent many years in a maximum security prison in California. He's got some crazy stories, but he talked about the first part of the call to character in our life. He talked about standing firm in the midst of all kinds of crazy stuff going around. And he said something I thought that was awesome. He said this, our lives should rail against the world. I love how he just kept saying that. The way we talk should rail against the world. The way we live should rail against the world. And it was so awesome because, you know, nobody came to Christ by you being their friend smoking weed at the party. You're like, dude, you know, I'm just here because I love you and I want to share Jesus with you, man. Nobody came to Christ because you were sleeping with them. Come on. People come to the Lord through our lives because we are totally different than this world. Amen? All right, now here we go. Some of you guys haven't been here when I preach. I need a little encouragement back. It's kind of like a good ping pong match, you know what I'm talking about? I ping you pong. All right. So I say something you like and you say, Amen. I say something you don't like and you shout boo or something. Just make noise. Amen. All right, if you have a Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 4. We believe the Bible from the beginning to the end and everything in between. Genesis chapter 4, verse 10. Tonight I'm talking about the character of responsibility. Oh, yeah. How many of you like that word, responsibility? A couple of you. All right. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. And he said, I have acquired a man-child from the Lord. Just like Pastor Josh. Amen. Then she bore again, and this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought an offering of the firstborn of his flock and their fat. Verse 5. But God did not respect Cain's offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And God goes on to say, his blood cries out from the ground against you. I remember one time when I was a kid, and my dad just got a new set of golf clubs, you know, and so me and a friend thought it was a good idea to teach ourselves how to golf between the house and the garage, which both had windows. And so we're there, and we're, you know, I play baseball, you know, you just hit the ball, you know, you go somewhere, right? So I started getting kind of good, and I just remember this one time I just pulled back, and, you know, as soon as, like, right here, everything went slow motion. And you just, you know, when that happens, you know something's going wrong. You know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, I can just see the golf ball just spinning through the air. It's like Spalding, Spalding, Spalding. You know, and it's going, and you're just thinking, this is not good. And lo and behold, it goes right through the window in the garage. Just, and it left this perfect hole. It's only like a high-velocity ball can leave, right? So my dad comes home. I don't know how he sees it, but it's like he drives by, and for some reason, he looks back, you know, and sees there's a hole in the garage window. So he's like, gets home, Reed! You know, I go downstairs, he's like, what's that hole? And so for an hour, I tried to convince my dad that a bird had flown through the window. I don't know why there's no blood. I don't know why the bird didn't die in the garage, you know, but definitely wasn't my fault. It definitely wasn't a golf ball, even though the golf club was still in the yard. And it was amazing because my dad had this fetish about trying to teach me how to be responsible. You guys know what I'm talking about? Anybody's parents like that? He's always like, you need to learn responsibility. And it was just like, gosh, come on, just lay off me. And it was amazing because really, the first time that I think I actually took responsibility was when I came to the Lord. And this is how the process goes. When we come to the Lord, maybe for some of us, for the first time in our life, we have to take responsibility for what we've done. We live in a culture that says, you know, if your dad beat you, then nothing that you do is your fault. Now, I'm sorry that your dad beat you, you know, and I'm sorry that this happened and this happened. Really, I am. But the reality is there's one day where we're going to stand just ourselves and God, and we're going to give account for the things that we did. And it doesn't matter what anybody else did to us. The fact is that we will be guilty in and of ourselves. You guys know what I'm saying? And at that point in my life, I came to this place with the Lord where I was just busted, you know? He didn't catch me doing something. He looked inside my heart and saw, you see this, Reed? This is perversion. And you see this? This is hatred. And this is lying. And all he just looked right into my heart. And he saw all the things that were there. And God just said, you are responsible. Man, I was busted. For the first time in my life, I had to face responsibility. Now, some people face responsibility because the cops catch them or whatever else, but at some point in your life, you have to admit that you did something wrong if you want to come to the Lord. This is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:9. It says, I rejoice not that, this is Paul speaking, I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, and that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. The character of responsibility. Personal responsibility is the foundation of our Christian life. If you're here and you're not a Christian, there's going to come a point in your life where you have to fight against this thing. Where when you think about yourself in truth, you have to think, I am a liar because I've lied before. And the list goes on and on. I've blasphemed the name of God. I use God's name as a four-letter cuss word. You know, all of these things that you know inside your heart is sin and is leading you to death. You guys know what I'm talking about? There's a certain thing that happens in your body when you know that you're not measuring up. It's like this chemical reaction. I'm not a doctor, but you know, like you're on the job and you forget to do something that you know you're supposed to do, or you're sitting in class and the teacher's like, now hand in that assignment, and you're like, oh, that assignment. Something happens, like this panic. You know what I'm talking about? That panic is a trigger from God that says you are not measuring up. And that thing, when you feel in your life, there's something you can do with that. You can try to hide it and try to put it away, or you can take responsibility. Now, Cain killed his brother. I mean, he murdered his brother, and he's like, so what? You know, am I supposed to look out for my brother? That was my life. That was who I was. But Jesus teaches us to live a different way. And I'm not going to talk too much about personal responsibility tonight, because I want to get to something that's a little bit farther down the road. Jesus is our example. We live for Jesus. We love Jesus. All of this is about Jesus. Amen? We want to worship Him. We want to live our life just like Him. I want to read this from the Message. This is Isaiah chapter 53. It's talking about Jesus. There was nothing attractive about Him. Nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down upon and passed over, a man who suffered and knew pain firsthand. One look at Him and people turned away. We looked down on Him. We thought He was scum. But the fact is, it is our pain that He carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought that He brought it on Himself, that God punished Him for His own failures. But it was our sins that did it to Him, that ripped and tore and crushed Him, our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Though He was bruised, through Him being bruised, we get healed. We're all like sheep who have wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing and gone our own way, and God has piled our sins, everything we've done wrong, on Him. Jesus sets the example, and this is what I want to talk to you about tonight. Jesus took responsibility for something He was not responsible for. Think about that. Me living my life in total sin, that was not His fault. Me lusting after every girl that I thought was pretty, that was not His fault. Me drinking and doing all what other stuff that I wanted to do, that was not His fault. But He took the responsibility because I could not pay for my sin. I stood before God as guilty, guilty, guilty. And the only punishment for my sin was hell and death. And Jesus stepped in. And because I took responsibility, because I said, yes, I did that thing, He took responsibility for the payment of my sin. Isn't it amazing? This is the God that we serve. He is a God of responsibility, and He calls us to be responsible people. Now, Christian, non-Christian, whatever, you are not here just to be responsible for your life. God has called you to be responsible for other things, for other people. And if you don't ever cross that line, you're going to live a selfish, self-centered life, and you're going to die miserable. Come on, somebody. You guys know what I'm talking about. Have you ever met like an old guy that just lives out in the woods by himself, and he looks miserable, he acts miserable, he's miserable? That's because God never intended for us to live that kind of a life. He intended us to walk and live like Jesus. Listen to this. This is Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant. That's what we're called to do. God took responsibility for my sin. He nailed it to the cross. Now God has called us to take responsibility for something else. It's called His kingdom. There's this word in the Bible, it's called something. I forget what it was. What is it? Gosh, I have to look at my notes. It's bumming me out. Stewardship. I find it. God has called us to be a steward. Now this is what this word means. It doesn't really mean much to us today, but back in Bible days, this was a big deal. Because if you were a steward of your master's household, you were entrusted with everything in that master's household. You guys remember the story of Joseph in the Bible? Joseph was made chief steward over Potiphar's house. He had access to everything except for Potiphar's wife. And he was found so faithful, even though through his misfortunes, he was made steward over all of Egypt, the most powerful nation in all the world. Because he was found faithful with little, because he was responsible for little, God made him responsible for the saving of a whole nation. And at that time, kind of the saving of the whole world. God made him a steward. Now, this is an awesome thing about stewardship. The cool thing about stewardship is it's not your power. It's not your authority. It's not your money. All you are is a steward. You represent the master. You guys getting where I'm going? We as Christians are called to be stewards. Listen, this is what the word says. It says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of a steward that one be found faithful. Now, when Jesus walked the face of the earth, he was the master. He was the ruler. He was the king. And people cried out. When Jesus would walk somewhere, they would say, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Even demons would cry out, you've come to torture us, king, all this stuff. Wherever he walked, the kingdom came. And Jesus' followers were puzzled, and they asked him about the kingdom when he was talking about him leaving. And he said, listen, don't look for the kingdom to come from the east or the west or this way or that way. I tell you the truth, the kingdom's inside of you. And then we see Jesus leaving earth, and we see him sending us his Holy Spirit. And when we become Christians, we partake of that Spirit. Now, I want you guys to get this tonight. This is important. God has called us to be stewards, to be responsible people. God has put His Spirit, His kingdom in you. Everywhere you walk, His kingdom goes. Everywhere. You walk into your school, the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God goes in that place. Everywhere you tread, you take that ground for the kingdom of God. We are called to be responsible because we are stewards. Here's the scary part. You know, God sometimes doesn't give us too many options. Like this place in Romans that says, you're either a slave of sin leading to death, or you're a slave of righteousness leading to life. Think about that. It's like, do I get a choice here? Is there any in-between ground? He's like, listen, you're going to be a slave to your sin. Your whole life is going to be given to your sin. Everything you do is going to be headed towards sin, and you're going to die and go to hell for it. That's what he says. Or he says, you're going to give your life to righteousness. And everything you do, you're going to desire righteousness. Even when you fall short, righteousness is who you're a slave to. And the end of that lifestyle is eternal life. You don't have a choice whether you're going to be a steward or not. You always will be a steward. When you flip somebody off driving down the highway, guess what? They see Jesus flipping them off. When you walk into your school and you're talking about some girl and this and that, and you're perverted and all that stuff, and then you name the name of Jesus at youth group and at church. What? What? Isn't that called treason? Think about it. You're an ambassador and you go to a different country and you're representing this country. And you go to that country and you start living like that country. What happens? Isn't the penalty of that death? That's called treason. I belong to a king. And I belong to a kingdom that does not desire me to live like this world. I take that kingdom into my school and I sit in my science class. And I say, you know what? Evolution is a lie. There's a God that made me, and I can prove it because I study to show myself approved. That's who I am. I am a Christian. I draw the line here. I don't live like you. I don't look like you. I don't act like you because I'm not like you. You know what I'm saying? There's a kingdom inside of me that wants to come out. Everywhere I go, there's a kingdom inside that wants to come out. That's a kingdom of life. It's a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of joy. It's a kingdom of righteousness. I live my life in purity for my wife because my wife deserves my eyes. My wife deserves my full affection. Because there's a kingdom inside of me that says there's a better way. Somebody say amen. Listen. God has given us stewardship. That means responsibility. Jesus doesn't walk this earth anymore. You walk this earth. I walk this earth. If you walk into your school, Jesus goes with you or he doesn't go. You see what I'm saying? You are his feet. You are his steward. When you walk into a place, you have all the power. You have all the authority of the master. All of it. There's nothing he can't do and there's nothing he can't do through you. Man, this excites me. Because God has called me to be responsible. Now listen, your destiny, my destiny, our calling, all those things, sometimes we can get selfish. We can start thinking like it's all about our destiny, it's all about our calling. Listen, all of that is smaller than you being responsible. You being responsible to a kingdom that's bigger than your destiny and your calling is the way you fulfill your destiny and your calling. You want to be a steward? You want to be a faithful steward? A faithful servant, you come to the place to understand that nothing you have is yours. Everything that you have has been given to you, and you're now a steward of that thing. It'll change the way you act. It'll change the way you live your life. When somebody says, hey, I want you to give an offering or a tithe to the kingdom of God, you don't say, why are they asking for my money? You say, God, it's your money. For some reason, you've let me keep all this. What do you want, God? Do you want it all? Isn't it all his anyway? Every breath we take, every step we walk, isn't it all his? Jesus took responsibility for my sin, for my life. And he said, in exchange, I want you to take responsibility for my kingdom on this earth. What would your school look like if you were an ambassador there? You know, we live in a world and a time where everybody wants to be individualistic. Right? I mean, doesn't everybody in some way really want to stand out and be like, you know, the superstar? You know, either the way you dress or your grades or on the basketball team or whatever. There's something in us that wants us to stand out just like everybody else. You know what will really make you different? You stand up for Christ in your school. You get all crazy like James Phillips. You'll stand out. And it won't matter what you dress like, it won't matter what you look like, it won't matter what your grades are, even though that's important, give you grades, amen. You want to be somebody? The only somebody you were called to be is a steward of God. The character of responsibility. It's not about us. You know, Jesus said of John the Baptist, I tell you the truth, there's not a single person in the kingdom of God that's better than this guy. This is what his life looked like. He was born, he went into the desert, he fasted, he prayed, ate crickets and honey for 30 years. Probably didn't talk to anybody else, just wandered around the desert, completely devoted to God. God said, all right, John, now's your time. You're a steward. You do the part of my kingdom. John comes. He says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is coming. Repent. He does that for a little while. Herod chops his head off. That's the end of his life. He got something. It wasn't about him. He had a role to fulfill. He had a duty. He did it with all of his heart. What if your whole life, what if all of your devotion to God was leading up to one day? That was it. Your whole life was about one day. Remember that girl that died in the Columbine shooting a long time ago? I forget her name. This guy put a gun to her head and said, "Deny God." She said, "Nope, bang." That was the end of her life. And books and books and books and stories about her devotion to God, how she used to live a life just like that guy, cutting herself, all that stuff, and how Jesus had saved her and changed her. All for that one moment where she rocked the whole nation. What about your life? Is it for one day? Is it for 50 years? It doesn't really matter, does it? Somebody has exchanged their life for yours. Your life, dead in sins and trespasses. His life in you, power, life, love, everything that's good. Here's the awesome part about stewardship. It's His power, not yours. I mean, how cool would it be to, you work for a boss, and he's building a big building, and you walk into Lowe's with his credit card and say, "I need one of everything. Make it two. Put it on this card. All the money, right here." All you're doing is obeying your boss. He just says, "I want you to go over here, and I want you to buy that whole car lot. Just do it." You walk over there, throw down the credit card, "I just want everything. Please." This is the awesome thing about being a steward of God. Is Jesus said in Matthew 28, He said, "I have all authority." And He says, "You go and you make disciples, you preach the gospel, you baptize, you turn this world upside down." But He started with this. "By the way, I'm the master and I have, you know, all authority and all power and all money and everything else. You just do your part and you don't have to worry about any of that." And in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, He says this. He says, "Wait." He says, "Don't go. Don't go with your own credit card. You go after I have filled you with my Spirit. When I have given you all power, when I've given you all authority, you go and you be my steward." We're not going to do an altar call tonight because you know what? Tomorrow at school or at work, that's the altar call. Isn't it? I mean, are you going to walk up in school and be like, "Oh, I'm going to hide because I'm just, you know, I don't want to." You know. What is that? I mean, is God God or is He not? Are we a steward of the kingdom of God or are we not? I want to instill in you some boldness tonight. If you're here and you have a passionate desire to be a steward for your master, here's what I want you to do. The Bible says that He will fill you with His Spirit. He will empower you beyond your wildest dreams. He will give you gifts and He will give you tools. This ministry, we believe that God still raises the dead. We believe that God still, come on. We believe that God still heals the sick, that God still changes lives just like He changed my life. That's what we believe here. That God will fill you with every bit of power that you need to turn your world upside down. You go home tonight and you say, "God, I want to be responsible for your kingdom in this earth. God, fill me with your power. Fill me with your love. I will receive everything you have." And He will rock your world. He will give you things that you had. Man, He will fill you with some crazy stuff. The first time you lay your hands on somebody that's got a crooked spine and it gets straight, you know you got something crazy up in yourself. You know what I'm saying? This is what this life is about. It's about living a life of responsibility beyond yourself. You've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. If you don't go to your school, nobody goes to your school. Amen. I love you guys. Here's Kristen Gallen.
Way to go, Reed. Oh my gosh. I think all of us are a little bit more empowered to go step into our classrooms or wherever you're going tomorrow and just speak the word. I just want to pray a blessing over all of you guys. If you all just want to stand up, I can just pray for all of you as we leave and go out into the world today. Father God, I just thank you that you are the one with the power. Father God, I thank you that we can rely on you for the boldness that it takes to stand up for what we know we believe in, Father God. Lord, thank you that we have the truth. Father God, and Lord, I just pray that we would walk into our wherever we go tomorrow, God, and that that truth would overflow, that the words that we would speak would be words of life, Father God. Lord, I pray a blessing over each person in this room, Father God. Lord, I pray that you would just bless them, Father God, with your Holy Spirit tonight, Father God. Empower them, Father, in your name I pray. Amen. Have a great night, you guys.